evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington on this pre-recorded program. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Tuesday, June 9, 2020. An outspoken senior Catholic Church leader is calling on President Salva Kiir and First Vice President Riek Machar to form the state governments.
The state governments are dormant. The counties and Bomas, all those are just dormant. The national parliament and together with the other state parliaments are actually dormant. And even the reunification of the army for the nation have not been completed. And all other apparatus of the government.
And officials from the Greater Pibor say the area could be under attack by young men from Jonglei State at any time.
Every person who is dwelling now within the town is witnessing that people are now going. So I think the attack will occur tomorrow because they are now almost to the area.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The Catholic Bishop of Yambio-Tombora Diocese in Western Equatoria State says the stalemate over the formation of state and local governments has created an atmosphere of fear, doubt and lawlessness. Bishop Eduardo Hiboro Kosala says the partners to the revitalized peace agreement should listen to South Sudanese and end the competition over the allocation of states to the various parties that signed the revitalized peace agreement. Kosala says South Sudanese in the rural area are wondering if there is a government delivering services in South Sudan.
The community, the country is not experiencing its government. And he is not enjoying what the government is supposed to provide for its nation. The state governments are dormant. The counties and the Bomas, all those are just dormant. The national parliament and together with the other state parliaments are actually dormant. And even the reunification of the army for the nation have not been completed. And all other apparatus of the government.
Bishop, let's go back to the issue of the leadership. It's my understanding, and a lot of people know that President Salva Kiir, who is in charge, is a staunch Catholic. What is the Catholic Church doing to really address this issue with the president, who is your member?
We pray for our country, we pray for the president, we pray for all the people in that government. We have never been silent in reaching out to the president privately and officially. The private channels are very difficult, but we do communicate through individuals, you know, that you can get our message. And sometimes, like what I'm doing actually now, is a way the Catholic Church is also raising its voice, although I'm not saying it on behalf of the conference, but as a member in the Bishop's Conference, I can raise this type of concern.
You say the vacuum, right from Buma to Payam and going up to the county, is having a lot of impact on the people psychologically. I mean, what are people telling you? I mean, I know that a lot of people go and talk to you. What are they telling you?
Obviously, the people are already using words like they have no government. So people are telling us, where is our government? And with now, seriously, with this COVID-19 thing, which has come into the country, people are asking for the presence of their government. And they do not even understand why this delay. There's not much explanation to the people, to the population. And the funny thing is that the people of South Sudan have become so, you know, immune to the suffering. They can't raise their voice, they can't speak much. So they will come and talk to you as a churchman, say, hey, Bishop, what do we do? What's going on? And you know, you have given all that words of hope, but time continues to go, to drag on. When you tell them, look, wait, you know, we are pushing, we are talking to these people, and nothing is taking off. And even from the leadership, a real national voice to the people to tell the whole now South Sudan about the direction of their country, voices that can encourage them to keep them together and focus is missing. So people are frustrated. Insecurity within the country now, even tribal problems, nobody's there to address it properly. You only send the army to the place. It's the army do not know how to handle a particular tribal conflict. They will only maybe begin shooting. In that vacuum, a lot of rumors, a lot of unjustified and unqualified statements are flying around. You heard people faking the death of the president. Why should that happen? Because of this particular thing, if the governor is in the place and the commissioner is in the place, he's in touch with the president. He will tell the people, no, the president is alive. There was no one who could say that. You know, everything has to go back to the presidency.
I remember watching one of your videos and you were urging and appealing to the peace partners that they should accept whichever state they are given, because it's an open secret that the deadlock that is delaying the appointment of the governors is the struggle over states, over state allocation. It appears like the SPLM-IO is eyeing certain states and they don't want to give up on that, and the government is also not willing to give up certain states to. What is your opinion on this issue of the states?
John, I feel terribly bad because preferring specific states is giving a wrong signal to the people of South Sudan. These people are saying which states are not useful, which states are not part of South Sudan. I think they could really tell it and make it so clear that you do that particular state, you are not important for me, so you can go to anybody. States should not be particularized. Though they can always put that political representation, say, look, in this state you will be having IO, that one will be an opposition, this one will be for the national government, for the government. This is the simplest way any ordinary man should look at this thing. But the way we see is that there is so much attached to different states by these guys, which means they are putting a lot of future thinking into some particular states. The oil, where the oil is, where there's much oil or gold or close to certain borders, all feel that, I should there. But if it's going to, the logic is very simple. If it is going to be a national government, whoever is in this national government follows the regulations, the setup within that government. You cannot own a state. It doesn't mean when you are in that particular state, the money, the resources that you use for your own party, then it is not a national government. And also, again, those who will be able to own those states with the minerals, if they don't display and use their money, the 2% for that state, they need to be accountable to the people of South Sudan. So all the resources of the country should be used equally. So the dilemma is really a mockery.
That's Bishop Eduardo Hiboro Kosala, the Catholic Bishop of Yambio Tomboro Diocese. He was speaking with me via WhatsApp from Nairobi on Monday. In the second part of this interview, which airs tomorrow, Bishop Kosala talks about the looming threat of COVID-19 in Western Equatoria State. Officials from the Greater Pibor Administrative Area say an estimated 25,000 armed residents of Bor and Akobo counties of Jonglo State are mobilizing to attack the Greater Pibor Administrative Area. The official is appealing to the national government to intervene to stop the looming violence. The acting administrator of Jonglo State says he is not aware of any mobilization by armed men in Jonglo State. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Bor.
Peter Lebelek, the Secretary General and Acting Administrator for Greater Pibor Administrative Area, is accusing Jonglei State officials of mobilizing armed youth from communities in Bor and Akobo counties. He says he thinks the armed youth will carry out raids in Pibor anytime now.
This is a joint operation, the Lawmir of Gawar and also the Denkabor. You know, we know that. If you want to know, we know that because, you know, those people always, when they do mobilization in the town. Even the town is, the mobilization that has been done is within the town, even within the board, and everybody witness about that. People, you know, transporting them by vehicles, commercial vehicles and even the military vehicles, and going through the main road. Bor, Bibor Road. Everybody coming from that side is not for that. Every person who is dwelling now within the town is witnessing that people are now going. So I think the attack will occur tomorrow because they are now almost to the area.
Jonglei State Acting Administrator Mabiur Atem Mabiur says he knows nothing about youth from Dinka mobilizing to attack the Pibor area.
in town here, I'm in Bo Town, and I haven't been able to move outside the town. So if there are youth who are actually from the villages going to Buma State, I don't know yet. And I haven't gotten any report from my acting commissioners in the areas.
Lebelek is calling on the national government to intervene to stop what he calls the looming violence in Pibor.
You have to get intervention into this serious insecurity that is going to be carried by Denka Bori youth and Low Mweri youth, because you know the country is now experiencing the peace, and we don't want just senseless conflict to be happen. Like the youth are now mobilizing themselves in a huge number to go and launch an attack to the areas.
South Sudan Defense Forces spokesman Lul Ruai Kwang says the army is not aware of any youth mobilizing to attack Pibor areas. He says the military will only intervene if the case has been brought to its attention through official channels. Kwang dismissed claims that military vehicles are being used by armed youth who carry out cattle raids.
That allegation is beyond comprehension. It is illogical. It is not recorded in the history of our army that the national army would go as low as providing means of transport to cattle raiders. That's not just true. That's a big lie.
Lual Alir Lual, the Jonglei State Youth Union Information Secretary, denies youth in Bor are planning any attack in Pibor.
They morally kill one person from Kulnyang in Bangachorot and take some cattle in Anyedi, even in Makwate, take some cattle and kill two people, and even Badi kill two people, and from Pigis and Duke. That is what the work the Murle did last month. But the youth are not in the position to attack Murle or to revenge. They are just cultivating now. That is a season for cultivation. So there is no use to mobilize themselves and plan to attack
James Roy Gatkwoth, Secretary General of the now defunct BA State, tells South Sudan in Focus that youth in Akobo County are in fact mobilizing and planning to carry out revenge attack in the Pibor area.
2 weeks back, when the Greater Pibor youth came and attacked the barracks location within defunct BA State, and there is a lot of killings that have been happened. And because of that, the greater use of the defunct base decided to mobilize themselves for an revenge, because most of the relatives were been killed. It was a mass killing that had happened 2 weeks back in the defunct base.
Last month, a group of armed youth suspected of being from the Greater Pibor Administrative Area raided the villages of Pieri and Pamai in Urur County of Jonglei State. Local officials say more than 200 people were killed and 300 others were wounded in those attacks. South Sudan in Focus was unable to independently verify those numbers due to insecurity in the area. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaideng, reporting from Bor.
The special representative of the UN Secretary General in South Sudan says escalating intercommunal clashes in South Sudan could unravel the revitalized peace agreement. David Cherry says between January and May this year, his office recorded 415 violent incidents between communities in the country. He says the scope and the intensity of the current outbreak of intercommunal violence could threaten the fragile peace in the country. For VOA News, Dimo Silva Aurelio reports from Juba.
Army's Chief David Serra warns that South Sudan may see more violence in the coming days, with reports of armed men mobilizing in areas where there has been intercommunal violence in the past. Serra tells South Sudan in Focus while fighting between political parties has fallen now that most factions are respecting the ceasefire, the scope and intensity of the current outbreak of intercommunal violence could threaten the fragile peace in the country.
Since December 2019, there's been an escalating cycle of violence in Jonglei involving the Dinka, Nua and Mule communities. Hundreds of people have been killed or injured, women and children abducted, cattle stolen, homes burnt to the ground, and thousands forced to flee to escape violence.
Sira says violent attacks by armed groups have also occurred in Northern Unity State near Ruweng, as well as on the borders of Lakes and Warabi states. The army's boss says he has received reports about further mobilization and potential revenge attacks.
Fighters in uniform have been observed amongst those engaging in violence, indicating that more organized forces may be joining, which is a worrying trend. Tensions remain very high, and we urge the groups to lay down their weapons and come together to reconcile.
Despite the ongoing COVID-19 challenges, Shera says UNMISS is working with other parties to defuse the growing threat of violence in South Sudan.
UNMISS has carried out several peacekeeping patrols to the affected areas to deter violence and is engaging with key leaders to calm tensions and promote peace. The mission will continue these efforts with the support of national and local authorities. In central Equatoria, clashes are continuing between the National Salvation Front, government and opposition forces that have resulted in the death and displacement of civilians, rape and sexual violence against women and girls, and the destruction of property.
Sierra says the fighting violates the terms of the cessation of hostilities agreements signed by all parties in January. The absence of authority at the state level due to the failure of the political parties to agree on the appointment of governors and local authorities in the 10 states has fueled lawlessness in several parts of the country. Sierra is calling on the partners in the transitional unity government to make compromises and quickly appoint governors to help restore law and order in all 10 states. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, COVID-19 patients leave an isolation center in Juba. Find out why after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
when you make a mistake, do you admit it or just move on and try not to do it again?
When I realize that I've done something wrong, but of course I have to make sure that I make a correction out of what I have done. Because sometimes there are things we do them and afterwards you learn from them as such.
It depends on the mistake, but most of the time I tend to realize my mistakes, and where it is necessary, I apologize. Why should I keep on moving when I've made a mistake? I've made a mistake, I have to apologize.
When I've done something wrong, I do admit. At the same time, I choose to move forward with my life.
Well, it is hard to admit mistakes, so yeah, usually the first option is to move on and try not to do it again. I think that's my first go-to option.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Mudu. The World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say we all can help fight the coronavirus pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and noses when we are in crowded areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. In our Tuesday health segment, we talk about life at COVID-19 isolation center in Juba. At least 10 COVID-19 patients and suspected cases isolated at Dr. John Garang Infectious Disease Unit left the facility last Friday in protest. Some of the COVID-19 suspected cases say health workers brought them to the facility and took their samples to a nearby laboratory for testing, but did not return the results for weeks. Dr. Theo Loi, spokesperson at the Ministry of Health, admits some COVID-19 patients and suspected cases left the isolation facility in protest But he adds that the patients must self-isolate at home to avoid spreading the disease. For VOA News, Ding Magod reports from Juba.
At least 10 out of 2,000 COVID-19 patients and suspected cases who were isolated at the Dr. John Garang Infectious Disease Unit demanded to leave the facility on Friday. A nurse at the unit who spoke on condition of anonymity because he is not authorized to speak to the media says he saw patients forcing their way out of the isolation facility.
They were so violent, they broke the gate from the red zone. They all came out into the green zone, requesting the security guard to open for them the gate. They want to go back home. There were around 80 members. The two suspected cases had the same complaint. Since the samples were taken, they overweighted for the results to come out. And six confirmed the cases who their return test results also delayed.
A patient whom we are calling John, to protect his privacy, says health workers brought him to the facility after he suffered from what he describes as a panic attack and needed oxygen. John says health workers suspected he had contracted the coronavirus and took his blood sample, but did not return the test results for the past 20 days. John says he still does not know if he tested positive or not. John also says he wanted to leave the facility because he was being treated in a room with COVID-19 patients who were in critical condition.
They took some samples twice. First one is not out, they lost it. Second one is still not out. So what is it? Twice, none of them is out. Yeah, I was about to get infected there. I was sleeping with a mask and I'm sanitizing everything I'm touching. They're putting the suspect with the confirm in the same room. Well, how can I be in there, you know? People are dying in front to see me.
Another COVID-19 suspect who prefers to remain anonymous because of the stigma attached to COVID-19 cases says he left the facility after the medical workers failed to return his test results more than 2 days after his sample was taken.
I decided to get out of the fence. So it was only me, but I think those who felt I was right, they also joined me, some of the patients. Because the others also were complaining, they were like over 20 days there, no results, you know, others were 10 days there, no results. Others, their samples were collected twice, but still no results. So they also joined me, and they were grateful.
Dr. Thoy Loy, spokesperson at the Health Ministry, confirms that COVID-19 patients and some other suspected cases left the isolation facility after signing a document committing them to self-quarantine at home. Loy says it is fine if some patients choose to isolate at home.
If we are talking of 24 in the isolation center until Friday when 10 were released and we remain with 14, and we have more than 1,600 cases positive, then you can simply calculate the percentage of those who are isolated in the center versus those who are isolated in their houses. Definitely those who are isolated in their houses are majority.
Dr. Loy says another testing machine will soon be operational, which will help address the capacity issue in South Sudan. Last month, Health Ministry Undersecretary Dr. Makur Matur Koryom told South Sudan in Focus patients would only be allowed to leave the isolation center if doctors confirmed through a laboratory test that they had fully recovered.
Most of them will not show symptoms, about up to 80%, but they are actually sick and they can infect others. And as I said, some of them are isolated just to reduce the risk of passing infection to others. Others might have come in with symptoms, and over the course of the days they spend, they improved, they got well, but the virus may be still active.
The patients and suspected cases say they plan to recover at home without the fear of being reinfected. South Sudan has recorded 1,604 confirmed cases, 15 recoveries and 19 deaths. For VOA News, I am Ding Magot in Juba.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Mudu. During this pandemic, the World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say if you have a fever, a cough, or have trouble breathing, you should stay home and contact a healthcare facility. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest health news.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
A Kenyan-based company has developed a video conferencing application, the first made in Kenya that is more affordable than foreign counterparts. Gumzo, which means chatting in Swahili, is free to join meetings and costs only $1 per week for users who want to host meetings. For VOA News, Lenin Rovaga reports on that development from Nairobi.
8 weeks. That's the amount of time it took for the first African-made video conferencing system to be created. Gumzo, which is Swahili for chatting, was made in the offices of Usiku Games, a Nairobi company that until a few months ago focused on making video games for the African market. In the wake of COVID-19, only a small staff routinely reports to the company's office. But that didn't stop Usiku's coders and programmers from quickly developing and rolling out the video conference app. Jay Shapiro, Usiku's CEO, says Gumzo is built to be used on the wide variety of devices used across Africa.
Africa is a mobile-first continent, and so you have to have a platform that works on mobile devices, older, less memory, and so that's why we built something that is not a download app, but is web-based, and is accessible on all smartphones or PC or tablets to try and reach as many people as we can.
In early March, the Kenyan government closed all learning institutions in a bid to curb the spread of coronavirus. About 17 million students have been kept out of schools since. Teachers have used a variety of conferencing apps, including Zoom, Skype, and WhatsApp to keep in touch with students. Gilbert Walusimbi, a teacher at Upper Hill High School in Nairobi, is one of the users of Gumzo. On average, his video conferencing class has 45 students. Walusimbi likes the fact that he can have an unlimited number of students in meetings and still have clarity because Gumzo's servers are in Kenya and South Africa. However, Walusimbi adds that the digital access to all learners is an issue.
The challenges are where that particular receiver, that is a student, is, because not every area in the country has the infrastructure for receiving this particular type of digital learning material. Electricity is also a challenge in some areas.
Vincent Omondi, an information technology expert at McKinney School in Nairobi, points out that the digital divide in Africa could pose a challenge in the uptake of emerging innovations and technologies.
The latest statistics that we have, 2019, that was conducted by the International Telecommunications Union, 29% of the population in Africa had access to internet. After internet access, there is now the issue of device. The appropriate devices to use to access video conference softwares, that would also play a big challenge.
Although the digital divide in Africa is still quite large, Usiku hopes that Gumzo will help make it smaller. Lenny Ruvaga for VOA News, Nairobi.
That's our show for this Tuesday. We now leave you with the song Tiwili Yolo by Honey Frank. We've been listening to Honey Frank with the song Tiwili Yolo. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for allowing us into your homes and vehicles. Remember to wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers, because there's no cure for the coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.